You may have got the gist of it already, that we're in for a faith lift. How many times did you count the text said, by faith, and by faith this took place, by faith that happened, that by faith these extraordinary events unfolded, by faith amazing things can happen. Faith is one of those things that we all have. Within the scriptures, we recognise that to believe or to have faith is a vital part of being a Christian. It seems that some of us have a little and others have a lot. From the reading of Hebrews 11 and 12, we discover those of whom it may rightly be said they had a lot of faith. It was their faith in God that enabled them to take hold of God's promises, to accomplish extraordinary things, to remain steadfast in the face of torture, punishment, and even to death. In the New Testament, faith is dependent upon grace. Grace is God's free gift, which comes to us through Jesus Christ. As we are reminded from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we are saved by grace through faith. Although we become Christians by an act of faith, we need to continue in faith. It is an ongoing wellspring in our lives, which enables us to live the way in which Christ calls us to live. The spiritual gift of faith is not different in kind or substance from the faith which every Christian exercises, but it is different in degree or measure. Those with the gift of faith have an incredible capacity, by God's grace, to trust God. It is a faith of greater intensity. This gift appears to be of great significance for visionary leadership and for church growth. Those with the gift of faith are able to inspire the church to lift its vision above the reality of what can already be seen, to a greater growth through evangelism, outreach, service, and pastoral ministries. And it's important in setting goals for planning, commencing new ministries, and undertaking special projects. Those with this gift, especially ministers, elders, and other leaders, are possibility thinkers who are not deterred by difficulties, opposition, or suffering. They seem to be able to see where God is leading the church and express a sincere hope and optimism in this. They inspire others. The gift of faith is also expressed through those who have a deep trust in God, to be present in prayer, to bring healing to the sick, and so transform a situation through a miraculous outcome that brings a renewed hope and an amazing revelation of the presence of Christ in the ordinariness of a person's life, of a family's life, of a whole community's life. In such circumstances, we recognise the partnering of the gift of faith with the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. Let us encourage those with the gift of faith to lead and inspire us into a greater experience of all that God is calling us into as his church, and in the ministries of healing and the performing of miracles to the glory of God. And so the first of the spiritual gifts that we're exploring this morning is that of faith. The second is the gift of healing. As Christians living in the 21st century, we are witnesses to the healing power of God through the most amazing advances in medical technology and medicines, surgical procedures, in the care and skills of medical professionals, in local general practices and specialists who are outstanding in their fields. In addition to the world's best practice of healthcare facilities and a healthcare system here in Australia that seeks to provide for everybody, often our prayers for healing draw us into a place of recognising that God is at work through the medical care and treatment that a person is undergoing through the general or specialist care of their doctor. In a very real sense, spiritually and emotionally, we become partners in the nurture and care of these people. There are many who are a part of our congregation who can bear witness that God has been at work in their lives, bringing healing through the faithful prayers of our church family and the medical expertise and care of the doctors and nurses in our hospitals. In addition, we still witness the miraculous healings of some people that medicine cannot explain, but that we can explain through faith and prayer. Healing is a ministry of the whole body of Christ. Therefore, we speak of the healing ministry of the church, within which there may be one person or several people with the special gift of healing. When elders and others lay their hands on the sick, they are ministering as representatives of the whole body. Any Christian, under the inspiration of the Spirit, may exercise a general gift of healing, but it ought never to be done entirely independently of the body of believers. We should always look to the prayers and fellowship of the body so that it will glorify Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 28, Paul writes about the gifts of healing along with the gifts of faith and miracles. And my conclusion is that God is sovereign in this whole area of healing ministries. On occasions, we witness the complete and inexplicable healing of an individual. At other times, we see partial healing of a person. And there are times, in spite of great faith and prayerfulness, we do not witness a healing from the disease, but a peacefulness and a deepening of faith and trust in God by the one who is facing and suffering from the illness. This ministry of healing is the work of the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ, and particularly gifted members of that body who encourage and inspire us to be faithful in prayer and expectant of God's sovereign power to be evidently at work to the glory of Christ. The gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the next gift that flows on logically is that of miracles. In the New Testament, miracles were signs of the presence of the Messiah and of apostolic power. When Paul writes about the spiritual gift of miracles in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is some ambiguity about what this actually means. It is fair to say that the gift of miracles may be a gift that is separate from, but may accompany, other gifts. For example, the gift of healing and the gift of exorcism may be accompanied by other expressions of the power, that is the dunamos, that's the Greek word for power, the dunamos of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 30, we read of the believers praying together, asking God to be powerfully present with them as they minister in Christ's name. And I quote from Acts chapter 4, verse 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Furthermore, Paul writes to the church in Corinth saying, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We live in an age of Western culture where the rise of technology, information and communication systems, philosophical humanism and secularism, and even a reinterpretation of the scriptures may strongly influence Christian thought and belief away from the miraculous to the science-based world of facts and reasonable explanation for what would otherwise be called a miraculous event. Those with the gift of miracles must be encouraged to faithfully exercise their gifts in expressing the power of the risen Christ, present by his Holy Spirit, always to the glory of Christ and never for one's own edification. And as the church, let us be encouraged to recognise that the power of God is real. We may be astounded at that which God may reveal to us and the manner of the revelation of this power. Let us be open to receive the reality of the miraculous. Faith, healing, miracles, and the final gift I wish to share with you about today is the spiritual gift of helping. The spiritual gift of helping is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And the Greek word used here literally means taking hold of, to help or assist. Dr. Raymond Ortland, who is the pastor of a congregational church in Pasadena, California, once described the people with this gift of helping as, and I quote, the glorious company of stretcher bearers. This was in reference to the passage in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, in which a group of friends lower a paralysed man down through the roof of the house in order for this man to be laid at the feet of the physical presence of Jesus that he might be healed. You see, he had no way to make his way on his own through the crowd to Jesus. But those who assisted him gave expression to this gift of helping and enabled him to be placed in that right position in front of Jesus. This helping gift can take many forms, and it seems that in the average congregation there are many people with this gift. It is brought to life through the preaching of the gospel, and it thrives in those churches where a loving Spirit prevails. The distinction between this gift and the gift of mercy is that the gift of helping may not be motivated so much by compassion and empathy, but by a desire to be of practical support. These people will come to the aid of the sick, the poor, the lonely, the bereaved, the aged, the outcast, in all kinds of practical ways. They are the classic good neighbour giving a helping hand. Perhaps the gift of mercy and the gift of helping go hand in hand for a number of people in our church family. Often the gift of helping may be expressed through assistance of those in leadership. They are the quiet, unassuming people who work hard behind the scenes to ensure that the person up front is able to exercise their ministry with greater impact. I think the ministry of helping is a reflection of the heartbeat of the church. The ministries of faith, healing, miracles, and helping, they vary greatly in their visibility and their occurrence within the life of the church. But all are important in the life and witness of the body of Christ here at Glebe Road. Next week, we will conclude our series on spiritual gifts. And I know that for some of you, that's like, hallelujah, this has been a long journey. You know, I'd intended to preach on spiritual gifts for 3 Sundays, but discovered that there was just so much more, and just to skim across the surface wouldn't have done justice to the whole variety of gifts, those with which we're familiar and those that are less conspicuous and with which we are less familiar. But to be able to dig into these gifts in a little bit more detail, to grow in our understanding of what they are, and to be able to recognise in ourselves and in each other the diversity of these gifts is important. So please ensure that you are here next week to be encouraged, to continue to find or to rediscover your place within the life of our church, in its ministry and its mission. In the name of Christ. Amen.